Let's turn in our Bibles today to James chapter 3, and we'll be looking at verses 5 through 6, the end of 5 actually. Sorry for the misprint here, I don't have the chapter, but it's chapter 3, verses the end of 5 in on through verse 6, regarding the fire, a fire of iniquity. Continuing to talk about the tongue as a fire of iniquity. Let's pause briefly now and just ask God's special blessing on this time together. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for your word. Oh God, help us to be found serving you, sowing in the morning, sowing in the evening. Lord, sowing the truth of your word, sowing deeds of kindness and all that we just sang about, so that we might be able to really rejoice, oh Father, when we come into your presence, and we look forward to that day. And yet now, Lord, we ask your help and understanding, and that we might truly comprehend your word and how it applies to us, so that we could be found faithful. Lord, bless us now to submit ourselves to the truth of your word, and to be willing, more than willing, to obey it in every way. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the tongue is a small member of our body, like we mentioned last time. But it has tremendous potential, either for good or for evil. And this chapter is where James warns us about the destructive force of the tongue. The power of the tongue is like the power of fire. Fire can be a blessing. We need fire to cook our food. We need fire, of course, to heat our homes. And we use fire to make useful products. And we all depend on the controlled use of fire in our daily lives. But fire out of control can be very destructive. The Great Chicago Fire of 1871 started in Mrs. O'Leary's barn. When milking her cow, the cow kicked over a lantern on October the 8th, 1871, and that lantern ignited a blaze that spread out of control. It nearly destroyed the whole city of Chicago before it was extinguished. It burnt 17,500 buildings, killed 300 people, and left another 125,000 people homeless. Everyone knows the destructive power of fire. Well, the tongue is like that. If not kept under control, it can cause great damage. And so today we're going to see the evil power of the tongue. I have 5 points altogether. It can be the tongue can be a fire of iniquity. First of all, like fire, it has the potential to spread. Notice at the end of verse 5, James writes, "How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire." That's, I've noticed some of the fire departments, that's their motto. On the side of the fire truck, it says, "See how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire." Very good motto, right out of the Bible. Maybe they're Christian firemen, I don't know. Well, I grew up in Northern California, in the mountains, where there's lots of forests, and we were well aware of the dangers of forest fires. And we were warned constantly to be careful with fire. We had there's still a mascot called Smokey the Bear. And Smokey the Bear says, always put out your fire. And so that was drilled into everyone's head, how to be careful. And still, from time to time, a fire would get started and it would burn vast miles of beautiful timber, forest lands, and leave a wake of smoldering destruction in its path. It would not only destroy the valuable timber, but a forest fire would kill the wildlife and leave that area so devastated that it was unfit to use for anything for decades. Fire has the nature to reproduce itself rapidly. It only needs fuel and oxygen. And once a fire starts, the wind can spread it rapidly, and it will burn almost endlessly. As long as there is fuel and oxygen, it will burn. Other things are not that way. You take, for example, water. Water cannot reproduce itself. If you pour a bucket of water out on the ground, some of it, of course, will soak into the ground. Some of it will evaporate. But it doesn't turn into a flood. But fire is unique. It spreads quickly by itself. It doesn't need much help. And firemen know how important it is to get a fire under control quickly. If they don't put it out early, it can cause great damage. Gossip can spread quickly. Misinformation can spread quickly and poison innocent minds and lead to great destruction. And when harsh words and cruel words are spoken, they can destroy households and families and tear churches apart. The destruction is unbelievable. In Proverbs 16:27, it says, "A worthless man plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire." Be careful what you say. It may multiply itself and cause great damage. It might even come back and burn you. If you want to destroy something completely, you burn it. That's how you destroy things completely, because fire destroys things so thoroughly that they can never be repaired. Once an object is burned, it's completely rendered useless. When God gave the land of Canaan to the children of Israel, they were commanded to utterly destroy the idols of the people. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 7, for example, in verse 25, Deuteronomy 7:25, we read, this is the Lord's command. He says, the carved images of their gods you shall burn with fire. You shall not covet the silver or gold that is on them, or take it for yourselves, lest you be ensnared by it, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. The only way to cleanse the land was to burn the pagan idols and all the objects of false worship. And there are many subtle idols today, idols of the heart. People worship wealth, people worship sports, all kinds of experiences that can become idols. Don't let idols creep into your heart. Be careful what kind of literature you expose yourself to. When Paul preached in Ephesus and people were turning from their idols and their false ways to turn to Christ as Savior, and they were turning from their idols, it says there in Acts 19, it says in verse 19, Acts 19:19, and a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. They didn't want to just put them aside. They didn't want to give them away to somebody else. They burned them. Because when things are burned, they cannot ever be restored. And those magic books and arts are not good for anyone. We must put away the sinful ways of our past completely and learn to obey Christ. There's nothing redeemable from our sinful past that we need to keep. Next, the evil power of the tongue has unlimited evil potential. James says at the beginning of verse 6, he says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness." He uses fire to illustrate the potential destructive power of the tongue. This passage is perhaps, I mean, these couple of verses is perhaps the strongest passage in all of Scripture regarding the wrong use of the tongue. It's a whole world of unrighteousness. It has the potential to spread without limits. The word world here in the original is the word cosmos, which refers to a system. And the world system, we know, is ruled by demons. It's a system. It's a philosophy. Its values, its philosophies are all inspired by Satan, who is called the God of this world, small g, God. He blinds the minds of unbelievers, and he keeps them lost. As it says there in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world, namely Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Wrong use of the tongue is used to promote rebellion against God and promote every other kind of sin. If we extend the tongue to the printed page, which is just another means of communication, and to the news media, we will see Satan's fingerprint on all of it. Misinformation has never been so common as it is today. Today we have what we call fake news. It's godless. It's not true. It's misleading. Those people who are supposed to be reporting the news, the facts to us, would rather present only their own political viewpoint, and so they overlook essential truths that they should be telling us, and instead they tell us things that are misleading and false. It's never been so common as it is today. The news reporters are accomplished liars. They stand there and they speak with such confidence. They are well-skilled in their craft. People watch the news and think they're well-informed about the world. No, they have become victims of an evil system, a system that is ruled by Satan the devil. And they are led to conclusions that promotes Satan's evil goals. And sometimes they get emotional about it. They can get all worked up and emotional, thinking they understand. And some of them go out and commit crimes and anarchy, trying to overthrow governments. We're entering an age of lawlessness where even the judges themselves overturn the law. Violent rebellions have been sparked by misinformation and wrong use of the tongue. That's the power, the evil power of the tongue. It is a world of unrighteousness. A whole world. Wrong use of the tongue doesn't have to be necessarily cruel words or malicious words. Wrong use of the tongue can also, the tongue can be used to deceive. False teachers, we know, are skilled in the wrong use of the tongue. 2 Peter 2, 3, first part of verse 3 says, "And in their greed they will exploit you with false words," talking about false teachers. They will exploit you with false words. Their words are not accurate, they're misleading. The tongue can speak smooth and deceptive words and cause just as much damage. False teachers are preaching false doctrines and false gospels, and they're very successful at it. They want to gain your confidence so they can exploit you. They misinterpret the Bible and make false promises. And they will lead you down a merry path if you let them. They will flatter you and gain your trust. Beware, because it is all part of Satan's world of deception. You have to have discernment to be able to understand the Holy Bible yourself and come to the right decisions. We need not believe everything we hear. Unfortunately, the false teachers are far more successful than the real teachers of the Bible, because their churches grow endlessly huge and they become fabulously wealthy. We can't believe everything we hear. We can't even believe everything in the news. Our password for Amalefty is fake news one, which is, I think, pretty appropriate. The evil power of the tongue, again, third, the evil power of the tongue stains the whole body. Verse 6 again says, "The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body." You see, evil words are hard to contain. Evil words may be spoken to target your enemy or to try to put someone down or misrepresent someone, or they may be intended to manipulate someone in some particular way. But once those words are spoken, there is no telling what evil consequences they will cause. Evil words spread out like smoke. You know, a fire is always creates lots of smoke, as well as just the heat and the burning of the flames. Words spoken in anger have unintended consequences, and they are often repeated in places where we would not expect. For example, have you ever heard little children? I mean, little children, just not much older than little Jeremiah here, who can, but children who can still talk, use curse words and strong language. I've heard that, and I think you have probably too. They didn't think of that. They didn't think of that. They're just repeating what they heard in the home. Now, their parents didn't think that their cursing in private would have any effect, but those children picked up on that, and it spreads out of control. Words that slander and offend and continue to they continue to go out, and that they're repeated, causing damage everywhere they turn, damaging relationships and causing hard feelings long after they're spoken. And they leave a stain that cannot be removed. Of course, fire is damaging, and the fire itself can cause the fire of the tongue can cause great heartache. But getting back to our metaphor with fire and smoke, smoke from the fire can also cause great damage. There was a fire in one of the lower floors apartments of where Young Shin and her family live about a year ago or so. And their home didn't get burned by the fire, but the smoke seeped out and went upwards, and it seeped into every apartment. And because that smoke damage, it went into all the fabrics and the clothing that they had in their home, and they had to have their clothing professionally laundered just to get the smoke smell out. You can't just hang it out in the open air to get the smoke smell away. It'll never completely go away. Smoke has a way of staining and clinging to everything. Sometimes I've been downtown in the city shopping for things, you know, in the department store, and when I come home, my wife Linda says, "You smell like smoke." And it's just because I was close to someone who was smoking a cigarette, you know, and that smoke drifts past you and clings to you, and she doesn't care for smoke, I don't either, but she's very sensitive and she notices how I smell like smoke. I don't smoke. But it stains the whole body. And that's the way bad words are. They defile the whole person. They're repeated over and over again in your mind. They keep going through your mind. Like the stench of tobacco smoke, it's not easy to get rid of that. Jesus said in Matthew 15:11, he said, "It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person." It's not the foods that you eat, whether they're clean or unclean. It's what you say, the things that you speak, those evil words. Wrong words defile the whole body. They don't have to come out, but yet they come out. And those wrong words defile the whole body. Fourth, the evil power of the tongue also defiles everything around us. Notice verse 6, setting on fire the entire course of life. The destructive force of evil speech not only contaminates us, but it contaminates everything we touch. It affects everyone around us. Everywhere we have influence, setting on fire the entire course of life, or literally the circle of life. We're known by the words we speak and the way we speak them. If you spread gossip, if you spread slander about your neighbor, if you make false accusations and lie, your sin will spread to others. If you say wrong things in the heat of the moment, you help destroy lives of others, lives of other precious people. Innocent minds are poisoned. Relationships are destroyed. Whole communities are put into confusion by your words. The evil influence of your words may continue to wreak havoc, sometimes for generations. Lies are repeated and passed on. You may die, but your words live on. They can set on fire the entire course of life. No one can stop it. They take on a life, at some point they take on a life of their own. Your influence reaches farther, much farther than you think, either for good or for evil. Never underestimate the destructive force of the tongue. a man named Morgan Blake, who is a sports journalist for the Atlantic Journal, wrote this satire. I have it here, but I'll just read it. He says, "I am more deadly than the screaming shell of the howitzer. I win without killing. I tear down homes, break hearts, and wreck lives. I travel on the wings of the wind. No innocence is strong enough to intimidate me. No purity pure enough to daunt me. I have no regard for truth, no respect for justice, no mercy for the defenseless. My victims are as numerous as the sands of the sea and often as innocent. I never forget and seldom forgive. My name is Gossip. Gossip and slander, out of control, are a wildfire, and they go on destroying long after we're gone. The fire burns on, and there is no telling what damage our careless words can cause. And therefore, we must not repeat information that we cannot verify. Even if we hear gossip, we need not pass it on. And many things, even though they are true, are not worthy to be repeated." Back to Proverbs 26 and verse 20, it says, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases." Stop repeating those wrong things. Don't add any more wood to the fire. And finally, and the most horrible of all, the sinful tongue does Satan's work. Point number 5, the end of verse 6. Well, it says there, "The tongue is a fire and set on fire by hell." Set on fire by hell. The word for hell is this word Gehenna. Gehenna, Jesus used this word a lot when he warned about hell. Gehenna literally means the Valley of Hinnom. Son of Hinnom, Valley of Hinnom. Just to the south of the old city of Jerusalem, there's a valley there. Maybe some of you have traveled to Israel and you've seen the Kidron Valley on the east, and then it kind of branches off to the west. But right on the south is what's called the Valley of Hinnom. And that was originally the location used by the Canaanites to worship their pagan god, Moloch. And they sacrificed their children there to that god that was a burning hot metal statue with Moloch's arms outstretched, and they would heat it and they would burn their own children to that pagan god, Moloch. And the word Moloch is the beating of the drums to drown out the screams of those children as they died. Horrible practice. And of course, this practice was an abomination to Israel. And it's as it should be abomination to us too. Unfortunately, the abortion industry continues to take the lives of innocent unborn children to this very day. And people still worship in a pagan way as they do that. Well, the sacrifice of children to Moloch was finally and permanently put to a halt by the godly King Josiah, according to 2 Kings 23:10. But the place was considered unclean by the Jews, and it was used as a garbage dump. And the filth of the city was dumped there along with the carcasses of unclean animals and the bodies of executed criminals. And they burned the rubbish there that was dumped there, and so there was always a smoldering fire, as well as the maggots eating the bodies of dead dogs and other unclean, rotting flesh. So it was a horrible place. And the Lord Jesus used this as an illustration of eternal torment in hell. And that's why In Mark 9:48, he says, he speaks of that place of hell where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. He also said that in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he repeated that quite often. Hell is Satan's place. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to judge the world and judge the sheep and the goats, pardon me, in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, it says, there he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell, you see, was made for the devil and his angels. James uses hell as a synonym for the devil and his angels. And so for the tongue to be set on fire by hell means that it can be used, the tongue can be used as Satan's tool to fulfill Satan's purposes. And when we speak slander and say wrong things, we are doing the devil's work for him. Satan means slanderer. That's the meaning of that name, Satan. He is a liar, and he's the father of lies. We know from what Jesus said. And Satan is also a deceiver. Revelation 12:9. The deceiver of all the world, of the whole world. And he uses lies and deception to control this world. Our education system is heavily influenced by Satan. The media, entertainment, the arts, sports, the religions of this world are all under the control of Satan the devil. Satan's influence is all around us, and there is no escape. Lest you think you're smart enough to outsmart Satan, you're not. There is no escape for those who don't know Christ. The only escape is to repent of your sins and turn to, in desperation, to trust in Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose again. You see, Satan's influence is all around us. And you cannot escape the devil's web of lies by yourself. You need to be converted. And if you are not a newborn Christian, then you're swept along with Satan's lies. Now, Satan can't actually speak, and so he influences people to speak for him. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:37, Jesus said, let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. And you could have, some translations may even say, come from the evil one, which is a legitimate translation. Anything more than this comes from the evil one, you could say. All that complaining, all that blaming of others, all that comes from the evil one, the devil. Every profanity, every lie, and blasphemy spoken helps to promote his cause. Every false claim and hurtful word serves the devil and his evil scheme. He encourages anger. He encourages intolerance. He foments hatred and violence. He's the one who promotes anarchy, the anarchy we see breaking out sometimes in the streets. And when you're offended, and you fire back something to a person who offends you with using sharp words, then you're doing Satan's work for him. When you feel that anger rising up in your heart, and you lash out to speak hurtful words back, then you are entertaining what the devil wants you to do, and you are entering into the devil's world of wickedness. Back in chapter 1 of James, he rightfully says, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Chapter 1, verse 20. You may think you are angry for a righteous cause, but rarely is it that way. We often become personally offended and speak wrong words. When you can't restrain your lips because of anger, you help set on fire the flames of hell. The words spoken in anger destroy people. Have you ever seen those old pictures of flamethrowers that the soldiers used in the Pacific in World War II, when the enemy was so dug into the holes of the rocks that the only way they could get them out was to spray a stream of fire down into the hole of rock, and then the enemy soldiers would come running out screaming and writhing in pain. They're on fire, you know, and then they would finally fall down and die. Burn wounds are the most painful of all, because all of your pain sensors are on the surface of your skin. And everybody who's ever had experience of burn knows how painful it can be. When the tongue is used to destroy a neighbor's reputation, it's like a flamethrower. It spits out its flame and causes great pain and suffering. And if you use your tongue to slander your neighbor, you are a great destroyer, a destroyer of relationships and families and lives. You are doing Satan's work. Your tongue has become a fire of iniquity, and you are setting on fire the flames of hell. I know how tempting it is to become angry sometimes. We all experience this. You know how social media is. We read something on Facebook with one of our so-called friends that was so wrong and so frustrating. I wanted to say something back, but I thankfully held my peace and slept on it, and I never did write back. It didn't deserve an answer. But it's easy to get angry. But that's where we must exercise restraint and not let that take control of our hearts. Because if we respond to a provocation in that manner, it can spark a fire of hateful speech that can go on destroying almost endlessly. We've got to get control of our tongues. We've got to get control. Again, in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 27, it says, whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. The next verse says, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. I know how tempting it is when we're provoked, but that is the very time we have to exercise restraint and not speak. If you've said things that are unclean and used your tongue as a fire of iniquity, if it's your habit to use your tongue in the wrong way, then it's evidence that you have a corrupt heart. Jesus, speaking to the unbelievers in Matthew 12 and verse 34, says, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Repent of your sinful ways and get your tongue under control. God will cleanse those who acknowledge their sin and turn to Christ by faith. He is the one who died for sinners and rose again. And he will save you and put words of praise and thanksgiving in your mouth instead of those other bad words. Let no unclean thing come out of your mouth, ever again. You know, the tongue can be a wonderful thing. It's a if it's used properly. The proper use of the tongue is to speak truth, to speak encouragement. Ephesians 4:25 says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." We must be using our tongues to confess our sins and to ask forgiveness. We can thank the Lord, we can thank God for Jesus our Savior, and we can bless his name and praise him and worship. We can even lift up our voices in joyful song and praise God with our tongues. That's the proper use of the tongue. We must be using our tongues to teach the gospel and to be witnesses for Jesus. And we can, of course, make pleasant conversation and speak words of encouragement and truth to build one another up. That's what the tongue is made for. And that's what honors and glorifies God. Amen.